Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2253, with a release date of Friday, January 1st, 2021, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, a satellite first for a small island nation. A California community rallies around a damaged radio tower, and hams in the U.S. face new fees for their licenses. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2253 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week takes us to a small island nation in the Indian Ocean that is poised to enter the world of amateur radio satellites in the new year. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has the details.
Get ready for a history-making satellite to launch in February of 2021. Mauritius is preparing to send MIRSAT-1, the nation's first CubeSat, to the International Space Station. The nano-satellite will be carrying an amateur radio digipeater and a whole lot of national pride. It's the creation of a team of engineers from Mauritius working with a ham radio operator from the Mauritius Amateur Radio Society. The project was also a collaboration with AAC Clyde Space UK. MIR stands for Mauritius Infrared Satellite, M-I-R. According to the Mauritius Research and Innovation Council, the satellite will use the digipeater to enable experimental communication with other islands, both for emergency purposes and scientific research. The CubeSat will also collect land and ocean data. Management of ocean resources is a top priority of the government of the Republic of Mauritius. It is expected to be deployed in May or June from the Japanese experimental module on board the ISS. MIR-SAT-1 has an expected lifetime of between 2 and 3 years, and during that time, it's expected to make ground contact with Mauritius 4 to 5 times daily. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In an action that many hams throughout the U.S. have been watching closely for months, the Federal Communications Commission is now requiring amateurs to pay a $35 application fee for new licenses, renewals, and vanity call signs. The controversial move by the agency is a modification of its earlier proposed fee of $50. The FCC announced its decision on December 29th after reviewing nearly 4,000 public comments submitted. Commissioners said they determined that amateurs who previously paid no fees for their licenses were not considered exempt from such payments. In other action, U.S. hams are also being required to post their email addresses in the FCC's Universal Licensing System, or ULS, enabling the agency to email their licenses to them. Hams may either log into the ULS itself or apply for an administrative update through a volunteer examiner coordinator. This change is an important step for hams because the FCC plans to use email for all notifications to licensees. Efforts are underway to help rebuild a California radio tower that was devastated by wildfires in the summer of 2020. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, has that story.
When wildfires ignited by lightning swept through Northern California this past summer, they consumed more than 86,000 acres in San Mateo and Santa Cruz counties. The fires also left another casualty, the Empire Grade radio tower and its equipment. The tower provided critical connections for firefighters, hams, and community emergency response teams. The Community Foundation of Santa Cruz has pledged $25,000 from its fire response fund to the restoration of this important radio tower, and is using the pledge to match donations, many of which are being collected via the GoFundMe site. The nonprofit organization wrote on the fundraising site, quote, "The loss of this tower has impacted several community organizations. Fire departments relying on the Alert Wildfire Camera. Community fundraisers like bike and horseback rides that rely on the ham radio communicators who used repeaters at the tower site. And emergency preparedness, like the CERT teams and equine evacuation teams that also relied on the communication resources made possible by this tower." According to the Salinas Valley Repeater Group website, the tower's destruction impacted the W6WLS 2-meter repeater, the W6DXW 70-centimeter repeater, and the WB6ECE 70-centimeter simulcast repeater. The website said that the W6WLS repeater returned to the air in October with a temporary setup in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Running analog only, and on battery or generator power. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
As any ham will tell you, when it comes to a good signal, it's all about the antenna. That wisdom is also a guiding principle for Project Kuiper, an Amazon satellite constellation designed to provide internet access from space. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with that report.
Following development and testing this past fall, Amazon has unveiled its single-aperture phased array design antenna it plans to use on customer terminals with the company's Project Kuiper satellite constellation. The details were made public on December 16th, revealing a small, light antenna, no more than 12 inches across, and with the capacity of a maximum throughput as much as 400 megabits per second. The small size has been designed to keep production costs low. Amazon's planned deployment of the 3,236 Low Earth Orbiting Satellite Group got the go-ahead this past summer from the Federal Communications Commission. The project's goal is to provide low-latency, broadband internet access with a focus on serving communities in remote regions without traditional high-speed internet access. The project's senior manager of hardware and antenna development, Nima Mahanfar, has said in published reports that the single-aperture antenna design is unprecedented for the Ka band, which is in the microwave range where the transmit and the receive frequencies are very far apart. Project Kuiper boasts a major advancement here, combining transmit and receive phased array antennas into one aperture. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A ham who made many contributions to amateur radio in the Toronto, Canada area has become a silent key. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, tells us more about him.
Albert Vandenberg, VE3ARV, who was known to the ham community as Van, was described as one of the core members of the Toronto FM Communication Society. Paying tribute to his post on Ham Radio Canada's Facebook page, Michael Walker outlined some of Van's further accomplishments. He said Van had also been part of a group that designed a repeater linking controller in the 1970s that was so advanced at the time, the Professional Engineering Association, the IEEE, wrote about it. In the mid-1960s, Van had been a partner in a startup tech company called Techlogix. It was there that he helped develop wireless-controlled conveyor systems and handheld devices used to manage inventory back in the days before electronic barcodes came on the scene. Van was 96. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
The SOTA community is grieving the loss of one of its mainstays and mentors. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about him.
Roy Clayton, G4SSH, has become a silent key. According to a notice on the SOTA Reflector, Roy died on Christmas Day, another casualty of COVID-19. In posting the memorial to Roy, John, G4YSS, recalled that Roy had been a ship's op on shell tankers and other marine radio shacks and the UK's chief Morse examiner for a decade. Roy excelled in CW, and John described him as a CW mentor to many, including himself. He was also devoted to the mentoring of the next generation. As John wrote, quote, "It was Roy's idea. The Scarborough Special Event Group gave a lot of pleasure and enjoyment over the years, as avid collectors of a series of colourful QSL cards will testify. It also taught several youngsters how to run a GB station and handle a pile-up, some of which were massive," unquote. John wrote that Roy's affections also extended to Citizens Band Radio, where he ran the Chairman Network near Scarborough on Channel 17 FM. John said, quote, "He would give advice and loan equipment there too, even sending around a monthly newsletter, and was very much looked up to," end quote. Roy was 84. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The Get on the Air to Care campaign in the UK, which won this year's Amateur Radio Newsline International Newsmaker Award, has won another victory for encouraging increased radio contacts during lockdown. The Radio Society of Great Britain, which partnered with the UK's National Health Service in this campaign, has raised more than £2,000 or nearly $2,800 in equivalent US dollars following its charity auction. An anonymous CW enthusiast made the winning bid of £1,025.99 for a handcrafted bug CW key made by Roy Bailey, G0VFS. The RSGB is matching the funds and donating the sum to the NHS Charities Together Fund. Meanwhile, the related campaign, Get on the Air for Christmas, continues until January 9th, encouraging holiday QSOs as a way to ease isolation. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K3ALG repeater in Palmerton, Pennsylvania, Sundays at 4:30 p.m. local time. It's been a discouraging year for amateur radio in Japan, but in South Africa, new amateur radio operators are celebrating their new privileges. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, reports on both stories.
The number of licensed amateur radio stations has decreased once again in Japan, according to Japan's Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications. There were 389,343 licensed hams this past December, a drop of about 12,837 from December 2019 figures. In that month, there were 402,180 licensed stations, but that number as well signified a drop of about 15,000 from the previous year. The majority of Japanese radio operators hold a Class 4 license, which was introduced as an entry-level license in the 1950s. Meanwhile, a new group of licensed amateurs is ready to get on the air in South Africa. Test results are in, and the South African Radio League reports there was a 95% pass rate for those who sat the exam. This means 81 new hams. Two of the candidates took the exam for a Class B license, which is the entry-level license and is assigned a Zulu uniform prefix. The next radio amateur exam will be given on May 22, 2021. Congratulations to all the new hams. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The new year brings some changes for amateur radio operators in Switzerland, but it's mostly procedural. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has that story.
In Switzerland, changes have been made under the new Telecommunications Act, affecting the administration of amateur radio operations and related costs. The Swiss regulator Ofcom is moving to a license-exempt model that will still require hams to have a certificate of ability after passing a qualifying examination. Hams will be charged 110 Swiss francs, or about $122 US, for call sign issuance. Swiss hams will be required to pay a reduced annual fee of 50 Swiss francs, or $55 US, down from 96 Swiss francs, for their annual license. Repeater and remotely operated stations continue to need to be registered, and they will pay a one-time fee of 70 Swiss francs, or nearly $78 US. The same one-time registration fee applies to systems operating above 1 GHz, such as those hams wishing to use the QO100 satellite system. In short, many procedures remain largely unchanged, according to Switzerland's National Amateur Radio Society. The USKA said in an announcement, quote, "The path to amateur radio is still the same, and for already active radio amateurs, everything remains as it was. Only the management of frequencies and the associated terms have been rearranged." End quote. The charges come into effect from January 1st, 2021. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
December Yota month is over, and now the wait begins for the awards. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, picks up the story from here.
Youngsters on the Air closed out a very active December Yota month by announcing some good news for hams and shortwave listeners who chase YOTA stations. YOTA is now providing awards for SWLs as well as transmitting hams. SWLs need to register on the YOTA event website, where they can log QSOs they heard on the air, qualifying them for awards at bronze, silver, gold, and platinum levels. SWLs are also able to use the website to request QSL cards after entering data about the QSO they heard. To receive these cards, listeners must have an SWL call sign and belong to a national society to use its QSL service. Meanwhile, as December YOTA month wrapped up its activity, organizers announced that award plaques were going to be presented in 7 categories. Most stations contacted NCW, most stations contacted in SSB, most stations contacted in digital, and most stations contacted. Awards will be given to Best Overall Score OM, Best Overall Score YL, and Best Overall Score Youngster for operators younger than 26. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
In the world of DX, hams in Poland and in England are running special event stations to welcome in the new year. Until January 10th, listen for HF2021HNY from Poland, QSL Direct or via Club Log, or if using the Bureau, QSL via SP2PBM. In England, Paul M0XZT will activate the special New Year's station with the call sign GB0NY. He will be on the air through January 7th for a few hours a day on 160 through 10 meters, 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and on 4 meters using single sideband, FT8, FT4, slow scan TV, FM, D-Star, DMR, and C4FM modes. QSL only using EQSL. He will upload logs after January 7th. In Slovenia, members of the radio club Elektron Brazica will be using the special event call sign S520SAFE until January 31st to promote the campaign of Be Safe, Stay Safe, emphasizing a safe lifestyle during the COVID-19 pandemic. QSL cards via EQSL and Logbook of the World. If sending direct via S56IPS, include a self-addressed envelope and $3 in U.S. currency. Bureau cards will not be accepted. Hams in Japan are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Nitsa City with special event station 8N1IZA until March 31st. No QSL requests are needed. All QSLs will be sent automatically via the Bureau. As hams, we know that there are many things that can get in the way of making a good contact. Poor propagation, the wrong antenna, bad SWR, or just too much distance. In Rochester, New York, however, nothing stopped one contact from happening after more than a year of planning. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us about it in this week's final story.
A Lifetime Achievement Award comes along literally once in a lifetime. In the hearts of the Rochester DX Association and the Rochester VHF Group, Irv Goodman, AF2K, was ready for his. Now well into his 80s, Irv's more than 50 years of radio service has included providing hospitality at Hambention, taking overnight shifts at Field Day, being part of the local Breakfast Club Net, and being one of the contesters in the annual New York CUSO Party. Chris Shalvoy, K2CS, president of the Rochester DX Group, told Newsline that Irv was to have received his Lifetime Achievement plaque from the two groups at their annual banquet this year, but COVID restrictions canceled it. There was also a challenge in getting the plaque made after the original company shut its doors because of the pandemic. Meanwhile, Irv himself had relocated recently to a care facility. He'd had a stroke some years ago while helping raise a tower. Despite a snowfall and sub-freezing temperatures, conditions were right for a good contact on December 20th. A parade of 32 cars set off with more than 50 hams aboard to pay tribute from a distance. The award was handed off and given to Irv by a ham who works inside the care facility. Still, this wasn't going to be a one-way contact for this veteran radio operator. Irv was handed an HT and gave thanks to his friends the best way he knows how, by getting on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Randy Sly, W4XJ.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, Amazon, the ARRL, Chris Shalvoy, K2CS, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, Facebook, Hideo Kambayashi, JH3XCU, Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, the Radio Society of Great Britain, South African Radio League, shortwaveradio.de, Southgate, the SOTA Reflector, space.com, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, The Verge, WTWW Shortwave, Youngsters on the Air, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And a Happy New Year to you all. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021. All rights reserved.